The power of influence is staggering. Several years ago, astronomers, watching and observing the peculiar behavior of the planet Uranus, deducted that it must be under the influence of another planet. Thereby convinced, they pointed their telescope in the right direction and discovered which planet? Neptune. It seems that Uranus was in fact under the influence of another planet. Before we go any further, I want us to understand about the word influence. Sometimes in today's society we have a misunderstanding of the term influence. But influence is defined as that moral or spiritual force, power or capacity by which we have an effect upon a person, condition, or development. When we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, he himself used several metaphors regarding influence. We're very familiar with them. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, he used the metaphor of salt. He said that ye are salt of the earth. A few verses down, he ends up using the metaphor for light. He says that you're also light, shining out in the darkness. Do not hide it under a bush, but it's laid out on a lampstand so they may fill the entire house. The purpose of these elements were to give the flavor and the illumination of something other than itself. In tonight's lesson, however, I want us to look at a metaphor that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul there states, saying that ye are epistles of Christ, written on our hearts, to be made known and read by all men. Being called epistles of Christ, that ye are the ministers of not in ink, but by the Spirit, Paul says. How are we to be epistles of Christ? What are some things that are very significant regarding epistles? For individuals who are not very familiar with the term epistle, it just means letter. A letter. Or short letter, long letter, it all depends. How are we to be epistles of Christ and for Jesus Christ? How are we to have that influence among others in this world? Well, at first point, we understand that epistles are written to influence the readers. That's the first point. Epistles are written to influence the readers. Have you ever received a letter from someone special? It may be someone in your family, maybe your grandfather, your grandmother, your sister, a brother, a very close friend. And have you read the letter to the point where it actually moved you? It actually influenced you? It impacted your life? Knowing that you have to make some changes? Have you ever received a very powerful letter from a dear friend of yours that caused you to change some things in your life? Just as people will read letters, so will they read us as well. The point has been made several times, and it cannot be stressed even more. The best way, one of the best ways for us to win souls to Christ is by our lives. People will read us like an open book. There are many individuals with personalities of visual learners, is what they call them. Sometimes individuals are better at learning things by visualization, by watching and observing. We had to train a few individuals at work a couple weeks ago, and I'll tell you what, that they are a lot better at engaging hands-on training, manual training, by observing what other employees are doing, rather than sitting down and telling them, this is what you cannot do, this is what, this is it, this is it, this is what you not, The list goes on. Some people are just better at understanding and learning by visualization. Peter, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be submit yourselves to your husbands, even though at times you may not win him by the obedience of the word, but he may be won by the conduct of the wife, and not by the word." See, it's very interesting. And see, we can see this in our very own lives. We talked about this morning that some individuals have godly mothers, but not godly fathers. We talked a little bit about it in class as well. In order for one to be able to bring one over to Christ, they have to show them by example. Here's another illustration real quick. A wife obeyed the gospel not long ago, and she's encouraging her husband and her children to come along with her. Every Sunday morning, she decides to take her children to worship. But the husband didn't like that. The husband would say things to her that would just discourage her, depress her, but yet she kept on going to worship. And one morning, he even stabbed the tires of the car to the point where she can't drive on a rainy day. And looking out the window, he saw his wife and his children walking in the thunderstorm, in the rain, in the mud, with the church building being at least over 5 miles. I'm not sure that's a true story, but I believe it can be a true story. It can be applied to today. And after that husband saw what the wife was doing by the conduct, knowing to do what is right by an obedience to the Lord, not by telling him, but by showing him, he then realized that there is something important here that he himself needs to understand and grasp. And that led him to obey the gospel. At times, we need to be influential on lives out there who are lost in this sinful world by example. Some learn by example, some rather would learn by words. But I suggest that we do both. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Being epistles of Christ, we are to influence the readers. If you go back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter also states, saying that ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, chosen to do the excellencies and the praises of the God who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We are to show the excellencies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the praises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thinking about that, excellence is obvious, is it not? If you think about it, excellence is obvious. If it is not obvious that something is not a good influence, then it is not a good influence. It should be obvious to everyone that we come into contact with, whether they know that we are Christians or not. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Paul writes saying, "Do not murmur at all. Do not complain. Put away all disputes." And later he goes on to say that, "For you are the sons of God, shining as lights in a dark, dark world." Don't complain things. Don't murmur. Don't dispute. Whatever you do, do it with the joy and do it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are being read. We are being read by the people out in this world. We are called to be epistles of Christ. And we are written to influence the readers. It's an easy concept to understand, is it not? Who are the readers? The people in the world. Who are the epistles? We are. What's the reason? To influence. Epistles are written to influence the readers. The motto has been made of all great men. And that motto is, God first, others second, and self last. Let no man seek his own, but every other man's wealth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, we are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not pleasing ourselves. What else are epistles called to do? Well, our epistles are written to convey the expression of the author. As epistles of Christ, we are given an expression of Jesus Christ to the world. Paul says that we are to have the mind of Christ. First, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of man, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but lowering himself in the form of man. The mind of Christ is to have a mind of a servant, a mind of humbleness, a mind of obedience. Paul goes on to say that he became obedient to all things, even at the death of the cross. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Although he, Jesus Christ, was a son, yet learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He became unto all them the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. To have the mind of Christ, we need to have the mind of a servant. We need to have the mind of humility. We need to have the mind of obedience. And folks, we can make more and more and more lists and applications of what it takes to be in the mind of Christ. And where do we find this? Where do we find all of it? Again, as we stated many times this morning, it's all found here. It all points back to this book. If you want to learn what it takes to have the mind of Christ, to be an epistle in order to convey the expression of the author, it's right here. All right here. We are to have Christ living in us, Paul also states in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. We have to have Christ living in us. In order to convey the expression of our author, Jesus Christ, we need to have his mind. We need to have him living in our lives each and every day. And thirdly, we are to magnify Christ in our lives, are we not? Our lives are to be transformed into the image of Christ. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, he says. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We are to be transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Earlier this morning, after worship service, my mom pointed out to one of the members, can't remember who it was, but that member then looked at me and said, boy, he does look like his daddy. I get that too often. But folks, when others see us in the world, can they too say, I see Jesus Christ in that man? He looks a lot like his Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, that is the influence that we are to have among other people. By our actions, by our words, and yes, but most importantly, by our actions. This morning in class, we talked about hypocrisy. Do as I say, or I can't remember that can't remember that quotation. It's a handful, but oh yeah, don't do as I do, but do as I say. There we go. Don't do as I do, but do as I say. That's hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. And folks, we can't be telling individuals how they need to run their lives, and we ourselves not applying things in our lives. James says, don't be hearers of the word, but doers as well. And that passage in James 1, 27, 22 and 23 is a great passage for us to look at application. Don't just listen, but apply the things that you hear in your life. Yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But until we apply the things in our life and showing others how we truly live, until we do that, then all we're going to be doing is telling people, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Folks, we're to We are epistles written to convey the expression of our author, Jesus Christ. Correspondingly, to see a true Christian is to see Christ. So, specifically, let's get a little bit more specific here. Can other people see Jesus Christ in my speech? Can they see Jesus Christ when I'm at work? Can they see Jesus Christ in what I wear? And modesty is one of the biggest things that this world is having a huge problem with now. Immodest dressing. Especially here when we're on the beach side. I'm being serious. We can snicker and laugh a little bit, but it's a serious thing, folks. It is a huge problem that we have to deal with in society. We as Christians can't be telling others what they need to wear when we ourselves are dressing immodestly. We need to convey the expression of our author. And when we convey the expression of our author, Jesus Christ, we're also bearing the signature of his name. You know, when you look at the bottom of a letter, unless if it's by a secret admirer who won't put their name on there, but if you look at the bottom of the letter of who it's from, you have the signature of the person who sent it to you. Sincerely, so-and-so, in Christ, so-and-so, from so-and-so. As letters, as epistles, we bear the signature of Jesus Christ as well. We take up his name, do we not? Once we have been baptized into his name, we put on his name. We put on the name Christian. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the disciples in Antioch were first called Christians. And you cannot say the word Christian without having to say Christ. Christ is completely filled in that name. And that was the name that was designed to give to God's new people. It's been prophesied numerous times in the Old Testament. God says, I will give my people a new name, he says, a new name. And today that name is Christian. Followers of Jesus Christ. Those who are like Jesus Christ. We bear the signature of our author, Jesus Christ, when we convey his expression. As epistles, bearing the name of Christ, let us so live as to never bring shame and reproach on his name. Let us not take his name in vain. Let us not blaspheme the name of God. As Christians, we must so live as to reflect the true meaning of the name Christian. Point number three. Epistles should be easily read. Epistles should be easily read. When you turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, there you find Paul talking about God's eternal purpose. And he says, God's eternal purpose, which was once a mystery unto you, has now been revealed unto me, which I have written for you to read. Why? So that you may understand. Folks, it's not a mystery anymore. When we read the epistles, Paul does say that there are going to be some things that are hard to understand. But however, when we read it, it's to be easily read. Easily read. The things are not a mystery anymore. God has revealed what he wants his people to do, and it's found right here. And folks, when we live our lives in accordance to thy will, which on a side note real quick, I always appreciate when those who lead prayer make the statement, Not only what we say should be in accordance to thy will, but may we also live our lives in accordance to thy will. Always appreciate that. May we not only say, but also live in accordance to thy will. Live in accordance to thy will. And when we do so, people should be able to recognize us as his disciples easily. Easily recognize us as his disciples. Folks, there are many other minor points that we could point out here with this major point of this lesson, such as Christ, when he told his disciples that if you have love for one another, the whole world will know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. But going for a little bit more specific here, In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. When people see us, can they also use those same words? Can they also use those same final words? He has been with Jesus. How is it that we are to be with Jesus in prayer? We're to be with Jesus in the Word? The list could go on. And after applying those things, and after maintaining those things, being diligent in those things, people can look at us and say, he has been with Jesus Christ, and he is still with Jesus Christ. Can people say that about us? Can people read that in our lives? Let us so live that no one would ever say, why, if you hadn't told me, I would have never thought that you were a member of the church. Let us do everything that we can. Let's do all that we can so that people will not make statements like that. Let us know that we're members of his church. Let us know that we are his children. Let them know that we are his disciples. In addition, as epistles that are to be easily read, some epistles do not contain much. A few years ago back at Harding, a friend of mine wrote a letter to his dad back home. And I saw, he showed me the letter. He asked me, saying, hey, Corey, does this look fine? And I read and it said, dear dad, at school, no fun, no money, your son. So I looked at him and I said, okay, yeah, I guess that's fine if y'all are just straight to the point. A few weeks later, he received a letter back from his dad. And his dad replied saying, dear son, at school, no fun, no money, too bad, you're dad. And just as a FYI, that was not me. I didn't do that. But you see, there are some epistles, some individuals who live their lives as an epistle, but they do not contain much. So the question we have to ask ourselves is that when we reevaluate our lives, how much do we contain? How much do we contain about Jesus Christ? How much do we contain concerning our prayer life with him? How much do we contain about our relationship with him? How much do we contain about our relationship among the brothers and sisters? How much do we contain in regards to attendance? I don't get far into that because this is Sunday evening. The faithful have returned, and I don't want to be preaching to the choir. But folks, we understand the point that's here. There are many, even Christians, yes, absolutely, that live their lives as epistles, but they do not contain much. Some epistles don't contain much. But as an epistle of Christ, we are to lead a full and abundant life, seeking to exert a great influence for the glory of Jesus Christ, all that we can do. And brothers and sisters, as we close, one final point that needs to be made mention is that epistles can also be blotted. As epistles of Christ, we are to be written to influence others. As epistles, we are to be written to convey the expression of the author, to bear the signature of our author. As epistles should be written to be easily read. And also epistles can be blotted out. The blot will be the first thing seen. And the Christian must be extremely careful lest his life become stained and spotted. For so often people will more readily see the blot that is on the letter. As I printed out the outline paper this morning, or a few days ago, excuse me, it came through the printer. Guess what was on there? A big ink blot right there on the front. Bam. And that was easily spotted. Why? Because it was right there. Brothers and sisters, the point can be made. When we have blots in our lives, they will be easily spotted. So as epistles of Christ, we should not go throughout this world with spots and blots all over ourselves. But if a spot does blot itself on the letter, it can also be easily removed by only one ingredient: the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, saying that as long as we confess our sins, He is faithful and just enough to forgive us of our sins. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the only way that we can cleanse ourselves once again, to remove that blot and that spot from ourselves. It is by and through the blood of Jesus Christ when we confess our sins and repent of them. Brothers and sisters, there may be one here tonight who has that blot in his or her life. Again, I encourage you to come forward, to be able to repent and confess so we can remove that blot, so the blood can remove that stain that has been filled in your life. There may be one here tonight who has never been changed into a letter. Because again, those epistles are specifically for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Epistles of Christ are what we called. But there may be one here tonight who has never been changed into a letter of Christ. And in doing so, one has to be converted into the name of Jesus Christ by hearing the Word of God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of his sins, confessing his name, and being baptized to have all his sins washed away. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If you need to respond, then won't you come together as we stand, as we sing.